Okay, just one or two more points. I mean, two things particularly about this whole kind of approach have been occurring to me. Firstly, what we've been doing on this retreat, after all, it's an ordination training retreat. So I've been trying to contribute to you, training you to work with spiritual death and rebirth in meditation. That's primarily what I've wanted to do on this retreat. I've kind of kidnapped the mythic context for that reason, to help train you to cultivate spiritual death and spiritual rebirth in meditation. Partly to start to prepare you for that when you're ordained, when you get your sadhana, and then you get the whole kit, as it were. But that's only one of the trainings, isn't it? That we need to train in for ordination. We still need to understand deeply what friendship is, train in that, cultivate friendship, make friends, stay friends, work with friendship. We still need to train very much in what ethics really consist in, Buddhist ethics really consist in, and really live out that training. We need to train in right view, really, so that we understand the Dharma very deeply indeed. Otherwise, we'll be looking at our life through some other perspective, through some other view. To the degree you haven't got a Buddhist view, you've got some kind of other view. At the moment, usually a kind of materialistic, individualistic view, which limits you. Yeah, so it's really important to train in right view. It's important to train in understanding what our order is, who Bhante is, his vision for what we're trying to do together, his vision of spiritual community. So all I've been doing is trying to add to that much greater training, try and put a little bit of contribution into that much greater training. There's something about meditation, and I think probably again arising out of our individualistic modern framework, that makes you think that's the real thing. And the ethics, oh well, that's for right view, those are people who like books, friendships for people who are touchy-feely, and all that sort of thing. Studying Bhante is for people who like Bhante. So all of that is part of one whole system, whole life system. We're trying, after all, to change our life, not change our meditation. It means working with meditation, of course, and there's something emblematic even about meditation. But we're trying to change our whole life, and then, as if that isn't enough, we're trying to change the world. Bhante is trying to teach all of that, and actually expects you, when you're ordained, to commit yourself to all of that. So one way of thinking about that in a sort of abbreviated way is that when we're cultivating spiritual death in meditation, whether it's by reflecting on the Lakshanas, or doing the six element practice, or some other approach to spiritual death in meditation, whether we're practicing spiritual death in our life by confessing, apologizing, serving, forgiving, and so on. That's one vital part of our practice, is that we're dying more and more. But to practice dying, you need to also do the opposite, which is to practice living, if you see what I mean. Otherwise, that dying practice becomes subtly, or even not so subtly, nihilistic and materialistic. But also, it often lacks emotional depth. We start to depart from the human in a certain sort of way. So at the same time, you need to exponentially enrich your life. And this is as much as a practice as it is to practice dying. You need to quite consciously, exponentially enrich your life. One of the primary ways of doing that is through friendship. Enrich your life by really making friends, not just mates, which is, mates for men is a kind of antidote to friendship. It's a pretense of friendship so that nobody notices you haven't got any friends. It's what men do to try to assuage their loneliness enough so as not to threaten them, if you know what I mean. So you exponentially enrich your life with friendship, with ritual, with the arts, with an appreciation of natural beauty, and so on. But many of us need to put quite a lot of effort now, as well as into dying in meditation and out of it, but also into living, into exponentially enriching our life, so that our life is more and more full of love, of compassion, of beauty, of joy, of courage, all of those, you know, incredibly positive virtues. They take us beyond the self positively, where dying tries to see through the self. You need to do both. Bhante's whole approach to the Dharma is a doing of both, as I said, symbolised by the private and public ordination. Some order members, I think, haven't put enough time into exponentially enriching their life. And if you don't do that, you just end up watching bad television and over-focusing on the couple, usually. You end up in a small world. And if you don't do it when you're young, by the time you're my age, you won't have cultivated any interests. I'm 55 this year, and I feel that I'm post-romantic, post-psychological, you know, all the things that I put a lot of effort in when I was younger, love and sex being fairly high up there, or actually sex and love, actually. Not that I got very much of either. Anyway, people of my age always feel that. By the time you get to my age, that's just a bit tacky, putting much energy into those things, love and sex and comfort and all that sort of thing. It's unseemly by the time you get to your 50s. Holidays, you know, fine wines and all that sort of thing. It's just unseemly. Success and all that sort of thing. So if you haven't been cultivating interests that go beyond love and sex, success, I don't know, all those sort of things that you get into when you're young, competition, and men compete very instinctively, if you haven't put enough of that effort into developing interests that go beyond that, by the time you get to my age, there's not much interest. Love and sex is going away. The chance of psychologically restoring your life, I mean, that's the other thing I put effort into when I was young, was trying to sort of undo the jumper off my life to get to the point where I knitted one instead of pearled one. You know what I mean? Trying to sort of unpick my life to that moment where I turned left when I should have turned right. I knitted instead of pearled, and then try and psychologically build myself up again. You know, whatever problems I've had with my father, with my bullying brothers, tell you what, I've had it. I have had it. It's too late now for those psychological answers. There needs to be metaphysical, spiritual answers. Those are the only ones left. And if you haven't put enough effort into that when you're young, there won't be enough momentum when you're my age. So yes, it's really important to exponentially enrich your life at the same time as practicing dying. And we need to probably be doing both really quite considerably. And then you've got a life that's really worth holding up. So we'll do a triple meditation today. I'm very aware of the timing of, you know, we're about to go back to our so-called ordinary lives tomorrow. So what you might find, what you easily find at this time in the retreat, is your mind goes off into the future. Probably you won't be able to stop that. So what I tend to try and do is, instead of thinking that you shouldn't do that, just do it more consciously. You know, so when you get distracted and your mind goes off into the future, step into that. And what I try to do is then try to wish myself and the people that I'm thinking about in the future well. You know, you consciously think, okay, well, let me just think for a moment about the future. You know, whether it's me going back, because we haven't much this time, but me going back to the community or seeing Gary or seeing the girls or whatever. So instead of thinking, oh no, I shouldn't do that, just let your mind go that way, because it probably just wants to go that way, and then make the best of it. Think, okay, well, let me just cultivate metta towards those people in the future. Let me think, oh, hang on, I start to get to that sort of thing, so let's try and not do that if I can, let's remind myself, da-da-da, whatever it is, you know. Consciously use your mind going off as a way of reflecting on the future, wishing people well, noticing any craving you've got now, because that'll spoil the future. Sometimes you look forward to something and you've been so kind of craving it that you can't settle when you're there. So you just sort of try to work on your future-orientated mind, taking metta towards the future, relaxing away from any craving involved with it, any aversion involved with the future. All of that will just muddy the waters of the future. Yeah. So use your mind's tendency to go home to do it consciously and with metta. Yeah. And then what you might do is a bit more just sitting in these practices. Keep coming back more just sitting, not trying too hard. Usually it's not usually very productive to try too hard at this point in a retreat. You're working too much against the grain. So just sit, let a bit of stillness keep coming up. It's been very still in the shrine room, so it's been great.